we're going to be talking about how to view setbacks as forward momentum, as well as really how to make sure that we're making progress and moving forward, even if the scale isn't moving. So I know that this is a conversation that you and I have been having. It's a conversation I've had with lots of clients recently. So I'm going to give you guys lots of different tools to be able to navigate this and feel confident in the progress and the forward momentum that you are making, as well as when mistakes arise, that we know how to handle them. So as we're thinking about this and as we're really trying to rewire our brains, it is going to be very normal for you to revert back to old patterns or old habits. And so the brain is always going to take the path of least resistance. It's always going to go back to the things that it knows. So knowing that your old patterns are going to resurface and just normalizing that mistakes will happen, that's really what today's discussion is going to be about. So what's really important now is that you have another perspective. You now have something else to choose. So you don't have to revert back to the old patterns. You can instead choose the new things that we've been working on, the new identity, the new story, the new habitual emotion, the new conscious aligned decision that you want to make for yourself. So that is now the choice that you get to make. But I noticed that with clients, you might make that choice and it feels really good, but then you might fall and slip back into the old pattern as well. So knowing that those two things can coexist and they will coexist. And what I often look for with clients is that those mistakes happen less and less over time, almost rebuilding that relationship that we have with mistakes, instead of viewing that as failure, instead of viewing that as something that is getting in the way of you making progress, instead being able to recognize, oh, okay, that helps me to see how far along I actually have come. So just reinforcing this idea that you have already developed a lot of self-trust. You have been at this journey. If you're listening to this and you're a new client, maybe not as much, but you are going to build this over time and feel more confident about the tools and skills that you are developing within your body alone, right? So one example that comes to mind is how self-trust is developed through hunger cues. As we start to identify those hunger cues and the body telling us when we're hungry, when we're full, when we're satiated, that is going to be a really great way for us to have that self-trust, right? We talked about this last week, developing that internal self-trust is around food and your body and exercise and all of that. That is a result of paying attention to your hunger cues and practicing that. Another thing that we want to take into account when we're thinking about the self-trust is the new perspective or the relationship that you have around food, knowing that this is different than when you first started working with us, right? Understanding that you have come a long way from maybe that previous identity that did struggle with that relationship with food. And not to say that you won't have times where it is challenging or where you are struggling, but knowing that you have also moved beyond that and you are steps ahead of that is really important to come back to. Another thing that we talked about last week in terms of self-trust is mindful eating, right? Being able to be conscious of the food that we're putting into our bodies, creating an experience out of that and really enjoying and finding the joy in food again and allowing yourself to have foods that you once considered off limits, but also feeling like you're in control when those foods are around. So it doesn't feel like this spiral that will occur during those situations. So it's important that when we make these mistakes to come back to this self-trust that you have already developed. It is there, it is present. And we are going to talk about some ways that you can keep track of that. So that way you understand the self-trust and the confidence that is being built over time and to refer back to that. So that's what we're going to kind of end today with. But before we dive into that, I want to just do a little bit of digging in terms of our relationship with making mistakes. Because what we often discover is that we have this resentment or this feeling of I'm not allowed to make mistakes, or that these mistakes often lead to the downfall of my health and fitness progress. And so I want to normalize again that that is going to come up again. So we want to identify what has your previous experience with the mistakes actually looked or felt like for you. So in the past, when you had mistakes pop up, how would you have typically handled those mistakes? And if that mistake happens again, how do you want to be with yourself through it? If you knew that this was going to be part of the natural human experience and that you were going to make mistakes as it relates to your nutrition and fitness, how would you like to be with that as it comes up? So normalizing it, getting comfortable with the idea of making mistakes, as well as understanding that that mistake is going to happen, almost allowing ourselves to be okay with that and how we want to move forward when we do make mistakes. So I'm curious if anything comes up for either of you guys in terms of this. I would love to hear, you know, what maybe your previous experience looked like with making mistakes versus what it looks like now, or maybe what you want it to look like. Maybe we're not there yet and that's okay too. So kind of two sides to that question, but feel free, you guys can unmute or share in the chat if possible.
No, so I would say before my coaching journey and learning the tools I have in this, you know, lifestyle journey that I'm on, how I used to handle mistakes was I had such an all or nothing mentality. Like if I tripped up or made a mistake, I just like completely reverted the wrong way and just swung, you know, 180 degrees the wrong way, which made things so much worse. And I had like no grace for myself either. And it just became cumbersome versus now, if I look at it, if I make a mistake, I don't necessarily look at it as a mistake. It's like evaluating, okay, well, this is the situation. How did I feel? What can I do next time? And that this one situation isn't going to derail me, that it's like so about so much more than just like this one moment in time. And it's okay. So that grace is there now much more.
Yeah. And I think that that takes a balance too, right? It's like, how can I incorporate grace while also evaluating that decision and being able to use it as data to guide my other decisions that I'm going to make. So when I first started coaching, right, I was all about just like giving clients grace and like allowing them to like make those mistakes and feel okay, which I think is part of it. But the other part of it on the back end is, okay, but you also didn't like how you handled that situation. So how can we prepare the next time that that situation comes up? So it's not just like pushing it under the rug. It's actually being able to be a little bit critical, a little bit like more inquisitive and curious about it to be able to understand how we want to deal with it moving forward. So I love that you shared that. And I'm curious too, in terms of like how you got to that place. Like, how were you able, I know clients listening to this who are newer, are like, yeah, that's me. But like, I have no idea how to see that out. Like, how did you really work through that? I'm kind of curious if you have any input on that too.
I don't want to say just time, because I hate when people tell me that. But I think for me is that when I saw, when I did these things, that the results were this, like A led to B, right? And led to C, that like proof was in the pudding, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then it takes time. Like where I'm at right now, it's like, I'm not there yet, but I know if I put in this work and I do these things and I learn and I give myself the grace, I know I'm going to get there because I've done it before. So I think, you know, a lot of it's just about time and seeing the success in it for me is what really helped.
Yeah. And that's, I think this ties perfectly too into what we're going to discuss later around, you know, how do you still keep moving forward if the proof in the pudding for you is seeing weight loss and it's not happening? How do you still know that this is working and that we're moving in the right direction, right? And I think that's just a perfect discussion. And it helps me understand you too, right? In terms of how you have been successful in the past and how that has been what's been able to allow you to really embrace this lifestyle and to be on this journey in a more moderate, balanced approach as opposed to all or nothing. It's unrealistic for me to say like, hey guys, yeah, just be uncomfortable with like not knowing what the progress is going to look like, not knowing what results are going to come because they're going to be better than you even dreamed of, right? I think that that is true, but it's hard for clients to grasp that, right? It's hard for people to understand that. I feel like I'm in a similar season in my life personally where it's like, sure, I believe that, but also it's really hard in those sticky moments to keep going and to keep finding the inspiration, right? To continue moving through it. Because to me, it's like, there's no going back and I don't want to do it another way, but also how do I trust the process, right? Without like just saying we need more time and it needs to just kind of happen the way it happens. Although that is very much the truth of the matter, but it's not very helpful for people who lean more on their logical side of their brain, right?
I think just kind of like what you were saying is more of long lens of it gets to a point sometimes where you're like, okay, I got to trust the process. I got to trust the process. And one of the things that I had to accept, and I think this took me like 7 or 8 years into my journey to like fully accept, is that it's okay to not be perfect 100% of the time. And I have to say, like, I've accepted it, or I thought I had accepted it until this past fall when I felt like everything was crumbling. I had no time to work out. We had COVID. Like, I missed like 3 weeks of workouts and I was so frustrated because I was like, I can't catch a break. I just want to work out. And then it was finally like, all right, like, that's when my gut self started, like, my body being like, look, slow the F down. But like, and that was just so eye-opening to me, where it was like, you know what? It's okay. Take a step back, focus on what you can focus on. And so I definitely think that it's an always learning process. And I mean, I've been on this journey for 9 years now, and you know, mistakes happen. Yep. I guess is where I'm leading to. It's taken me a long time to accept that fact.
Yeah. It's, I love what you said, because it's just so true that your body was telling you at that point, right? Like, hey, this has gone on long enough. I need a break, you know, like, please slow down. And the gut issues kind of cascading on top of that. And it feels like often, I know I have clients who are going through a season like this too. It just feels like thing after thing, you know, is just like getting in the way of this pursuit. And I think that it will always come back to this idea of just being able to do the best that you can, right? During that season, knowing that it's not going to look perfect, knowing that it's not going to look as great as you want it to, and being able to adjust, you know, we've talked about this before, the dial method, being able to adjust the dial up and down depending on the season that you're in. So we're never completely shutting off the dial. We're not turning the volume completely off, but what we are doing is being able to taper it depending on the capacity that you have in the season of life that you're in. And when we can accept that and understand that, the process just becomes more enjoyable. It becomes a lifestyle. It literally becomes something that you can stick with, because you're like, oh, okay, knowing that and understanding that, you know, maybe I have this season where, and I know Sam's about to enter, she just started a deficit, and she's in a season where she's like, I have the time, I have the capacity. Like, I've been putting in the work, I've been taking care of my body, I've been in maintenance for a long time. Like, my body is ready for this, right? And she was mentally, physically, and emotionally ready, right? And now that's the season that she's entering in. And so understanding that those seasons are going to be, they're seasons for a reason, right? We're supposed to fluctuate through them, and understand that the progress that you're looking for is also directly correlated with the season that you are in. So sometimes I find with clients that, and I've done this myself too, and I like shake my head about it, because I'm like, wow, why would I be expecting that if that's not what I'm working on? Why would I be expect to be losing weight if I'm in a season of maintenance? You know, like that's not how that works. You know, it might happen, yes, just out of the blue, but like, I had a reel on this recently, right? You can't expect to make progress in an area that you're not working on. And I related it to the example of, I just started running again, right? And I am really slow, and like, it's painful, and it's really challenging for me to even run like 10 minutes, but I haven't ran in like 3 years consistently. So, okay, that makes sense that I wouldn't be good at it. So it's hard to expect, you know, I think that's where the differentiator is, right? Is like, what season are you in? What is the focus and purpose of this season? And being able to adjust your expectations of progress according to that. I think that that's a really important thing that often gets dismissed too.
I agree. Cause I'm in why am I not losing weight? And I'm like, wait a minute, you're dealing with a celiac diagnosis. You're learning to eat a different way. You're healing your body. Stop.
I know. And I can speak from that behalf as well, Kristen. Like, recently I've been same journey I've been on as you. We are, I guess, 10 months, almost 11 months. I started in April of last year, so we're almost to a full year of this. And at this point I thought like, oh, maybe like, because I'm working better with my body and I'm healing all of these things, like maybe then like I would just, not that I'm intentionally trying to lose weight, but maybe just like, you know, some things would slim around in my body a little bit more. And I just look a little bit more like lean, and you could see more muscle. And I don't feel that that is the case. And I'm like, but I've been putting in all this work, you know, but that wasn't in the intention of the work, right? The intention of the work was not so that I could lose weight. The intention of the work, it was so that I could heal my body, yeah, and heal the relationship that I have with my body. So to me, just even getting my period, you know, and having minimal cramps and seeing that improvement, like I felt an instant connection to my body and just being like, wow, okay, we are moving in the right direction. You're healing. And I was like, so grateful for that. And that felt better than any weight loss I've ever achieved, you know? And I was just like, that's the deeper stuff, you know, that's the stuff that really makes a big difference. So I know the season you're in, I feel it very much, but I continue to just keep moving. You move through the process, because I wouldn't choose any other way either. either regardless, you know, it's not like I would do something differently. And that's kind of how I look at it, how I sort of rationalize that for myself. But this is great, guys. I love this conversation. Thank you for participating. There's a couple of other questions and you're more than welcome to share. I love hearing from your perspective. So if you guys have other things as I present some of these other questions, I know that it would be very well received by our other clients and stuff. So feel free to share. But one of the questions that I had here was, what tools do you have now that you can utilize to deal with the setbacks? So the idea here is that as you move through this journey, you're developing that toolbox, right? You're able to recruit new tools, new brain pathways, new things that you can utilize to handle the setbacks. So as you go on this journey, you'll realize that, okay, so this mistake happened, but now here's how I deal with it. Now here's how I cope with it versus maybe what I would have done in the past. So I know we talked a little bit about this, but do you guys have any specific like tools that come to mind for you all that are helpful for you when those times of mistakes occur or when you feel like you're not making forward progress? Like any idea there that comes to mind?
For me lately, it's just been looking back on how far we've come. Like remember a month ago, you couldn't get through the day without a nap. Period.
Yeah.
But you know, so I mean, that's where I'm at right now with it. But I think historically, it's just like the mind reset of just start back again. Like that's my main tool, which is not necessarily helpful, but
yeah, no, I love that. I think you're on the right track too with that. And the tool that I'm going to give you at the end is definitely speaking to this, but being able to identify exactly how far you've come. I know that that is something that I reflect a lot on, right? Especially when I get caught in my head about wanting to weigh less or to look leaner. I look back at the photo of myself when I was in a very unhealthy place, but as skinny as a stick. And I'm like, that is not a life that I would wish upon myself or anyone, you know? So it's being able to identify that and to kind of use that hindsight to your advantage, right? To understand that we have made forward progress and forward momentum. And that's a great tool to utilize. I think that it draws on, you know, what we talked about previously in that self-trust as well. So that's awesome. There's another question that I think is important to address in here. And it's like, I put it in here because I feel like this is something that clients do struggle with too, in terms of not necessarily finding that sustainability in this process and feeling like it's kind of temporary. So what feels like it's working, but also feels temporary? Because those temporary things, we want to change that to make it more sustainable. So that way it feels like things that you can do for a lifetime, right? So one example that came to mind when I was thinking of this was macro tracking, right? I know a lot of clients use this. Both of you to a certain extent use this. And I think that it's an awesome tool. However, it might feel like for somebody very overwhelming. It might feel like something like, oh, I don't want to be like tracking and doing all this tedious stuff and like be on my phone more than I need to and whatnot. And so when we think about that, I think it's okay to view it as a temporary thing, but to also understand and accept that it's temporary and to start building the skills that belong underneath that to be able to eventually move away from macro tracking, right? So instead of just weighing your food constantly and like practicing eyeballing and being able to really get comfortable with portion sizes without tracking, right? And integrating some untracked things and being able to practice, how would this look like in terms of my goals and starting to get comfortable with that transition, I think is very, very helpful. So a lot of my one-on-one clients, we get to this point too, that's where we move to more of the intuitive eating approach. But I do believe that macro tracking allows you to be more of an intuitive eater, but that needs to come. I'm a firm believer that that needs to happen, or at least that's one way for it to happen, where that comes first. And then we move into more of the intuitive side of things. But you can still do elements of intuitive eating in terms of paying attention to your hunger cues, right? Listening to your body, being able to eat things that you enjoy, incorporating foods that you love, removing the morality around them, no good or bad foods and things like that, which is a lot of the stuff that we do anyway. So that's, I think, just a really important question to ask yourself, right? What feels like it's working, but what also maybe feels a little temporary? And how can we make that less temporary and more of a lifestyle, something habitual, something that feels good? And also knowing that some things are just temporary and that's okay. The last kind of big thing that we're going to tie everything together with is this question of, how do you know that you're progressing forward in the absence of weight loss, measurements changing, all of the like vanity metrics? That's what I started calling them recently, because I feel like that's what they are, right? They're things that are related to how we look, and they're not bad. We can still track progress that way. There's nothing wrong with that. However, what I often discover with clients is that those things might not be moving, but they're seeing results in other ways as well. So I don't want you to get on this journey and to be like, well, I give up because I'm not seeing weight loss. We don't want to get to that place. We want to be able to understand like, okay, the scale's not moving, but look at all this progress that I'm making in other areas. And again, the vanity metrics are perfectly fine to track. I'm all for it. However, I want to present to you this other kind of concept and ways that we can start to integrate maybe some of those less, almost like more intangible, right? They're kind of more intangible, which I think is really important. And Kristen just shared a few, which is awesome. Energy levels, clearer skin, better sleep. Amazing, right? And those are things that are more in our control, right? They're more in our control. They're going to be directly related to the habits that we are doing on a consistent basis. We can improve our sleep. We can increase our energy, right? The skin thing, maybe not necessarily as much in our control, but to a certain extent it is, right? If gluten is an allergy and it's causing you to have skin issues, then hello, not eating the gluten is something that we can control for the most part, you know? So being able to incorporate that is important. But something that I want to present to you guys is this concept of a confidence or like an evidence journal. And I kind of phrased it two different ways because it kind of means both of those things in different ways. So basically what it is an ongoing list of events, experiences, moments in your day-to-day life that act as support for the changes that you're making and the self-trust that you're developing. Okay. I have some questions that'll help you get this kind of brewing, and then I'll give some examples. But what are things that you do without having to think about anymore? So maybe it was something that you struggled with when you first came to me or you first started working with your coach. And that was like, oh, now I do that and it's not even an issue for me. You know, it's something that Kristen, the one that comes to mind for you is like, I hated strength training. Like I did not like lifting weights. And now I love lifting weights every day, you know, like that's a good one as to how that has changed for you. And it's something.
Get enough of it.
I know, it's so fun. It's the best. Another question to evaluate, what choices are you making that now feel easy and natural, but once felt hard? So this is just reflecting again, what are the things that have become easier, that have become more automatic, that have become more things that you desire, things you actually want to do as opposed to feeling forced to do them. I think sometimes we come into health and fitness with this like forced mentality, this like, I just need more discipline. I just need to do the things. And that can be very toxic in terms of really determining like, what do I actually want to do, right? Or what is actually things that are making my life better? Sometimes we need to go through that process to identify that. What do you no longer allow in your life, right? So this can be related to like, maybe the peer groups that you're in, maybe you don't hang out with certain people because it's like not good for your mental headspace. Maybe there's conversations that you don't have with certain people in your life because when you have that conversation, it makes you feel bad about yourself or makes you feel bad or self-conscious about your body, right? Things like that. How do you choose to respond to these triggering moments or mistakes, if you will, now versus when you started? So that's kind of tying everything back together. And this can be as simple as like a note in your phone, right? This doesn't have to be like a full-on journal, but just like situations where you're like, wow, okay, I was really proud of the fact that I did this. And I'm trying to use some client examples from this past week. I mean, you guys can share with me if you have examples.
One for me has been social media, specifically TikTok. And I have opinions about TikTok for a variety of reasons, just because of my day-to-day work, but I was using it trying to build like a following and stuff, and I would get caught in the scroll. And I began to realize that the algorithm tells you what it wants you to hear. And I was getting into like almost depression from watching things. And I was, this is ridiculous. Like no business building tool should make you feel that way. So like, it's not like specifically health, but it's more mental health. But like TikTok was one for me. Like, I was like, you know what? We're just going to delete that app. Like I'm done.
Yeah. And how do you know, Kristen, that you've been like seeing progress in this realm?
I don't feel like crap in the afternoons anymore. I would find myself down like, this is what this registered dietitian recommends. This is what this weight loss trainer recommends. This is how I lost weight. This is how I do this. And these people were 15 years younger than me. They don't have kids, no offense, but they had a completely different lifestyle. They were traveling every weekend. They were just different stages of life. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? And then in the afternoons, all of a sudden, I don't feel like crap about myself come 3 o'clock because I didn't sit and watch an hour of TikToks while I was working.
This self-awareness is just amazing, right? I think this ties back into the previous conversations we've been having around being curious about some of the things that we're doing and how it's making us feel. And then being able to make or take an action that allows us to reduce that feeling or remove that completely. And I think that, Kristen, it could have easily been too in this situation, like, oh, I removed social media and I didn't feel any better. I still felt like bad about myself in the afternoon, right? So then it's like, okay, let's go back to the drawing board, see what else could be at this problem. Like what is causing this? So I love that you were just like, let's try reducing that. And then, yeah, like knowing that you're making progress, that's like the last point of this is just like, how do you know, right? That things are improving. Like, hello, I don't feel as bad. I feel more confident about my business. I feel more confident as I coach my clients, right? Like things that are happening day to day, you know, and being able to identify that. Sam, do you have any experiences that you're like, yes, I can tell this is something that maybe I don't have to think about as much anymore. Or now this is something that feels more natural and comes effortlessly.
For me, it's the gym. I feel like it was something that I used to always kind of dread, and just the things that I would do, or even like meal prepping or cooking. Like,
yeah,
as painful as it was as at the beginning, now like I actually enjoy it. And it's mm-hmm. just so ingrained in me. Like, it's not even a conscious choice sometimes. Like, it's just happening, which is crazy because it mm-hmm. used to not be that way at all.
Same. My parents are Italian and amazing cooks. And I just never like cooked. When I went to college, I was like, I don't know what the heck I cooked when I was in college. Like, what did I eat? And honestly, I didn't cook. My dad used to send me home when I came home to visit. He would send me with like shrink wrapped chicken cutlets that he made for me that I would eat until I came home again for more food. Literally lived off that and eggs, because eggs were easy to make. I would not cook a meat because it grossed me out to like touch the meat. I would eat meat, but like not actually cook it myself. Anyways, all of that to say, now I like really enjoy cooking, but that was not always the case, right? That was something that came along. And maybe you're somebody that like doesn't like cooking at all, and maybe you never will. And that's okay too. It's just knowing that and understanding, okay, well, if I'm not gonna be able to cook, then what is the thing that I can do here for myself, right? But what's cool about these questions too, is that it'll allow you to start to identify. And as things happen in your life, you'll start to just kind of jot them down like, oh, this felt really nice. It's kind of like when you all do weekly check-ins with me, you share with me like the things that went well, right? That's part of your confidence or evidence journal as to where we're moving, right? I had one of my clients share that he was able to just feel like he was moving more towards this consistency versus perfection kind of mentality. And it's like, great. What makes you think that? What event showed you that? How were you able to do that? Like, he had an example where he went out for dinner and he was able to order something that he actually wanted and got chicken parmesan and sweet potato fries and a beer. And he like had half the meal and felt really good. Didn't feel the need to overindulge and eat all of it, and didn't actually get another beer because he just felt good about that. That to me is like perfect confidence evidence journal right there. Things like that. We want to pick up on that. You could do this in life too. Any other belief that you're trying to cultivate for yourself, or any thought pattern that you're trying to change, this is where this comes into play, because we are naturally really prone to confirmation bias. This is basically where you're looking for things to confirm thoughts and beliefs that you have. And it often works in like a negative way, like, oh, I'm feeling really anxious about this, and now therefore I'm having all of these situations come up that are making me more anxious. But it can also be positive. You've probably heard like the car example. So when you are driving and you decide, I really want this new car, or I like this kind of car, I'd like to buy this someday, you're going to see that car all over the place, right? Just confirmation bias that, oh, I need this. I want to do this. So we can use this to our benefit and allow us to understand like, these are the situations that are working well in our lives. This is proof and evidence, back to proof in the pudding, that things are moving in the right direction. And guess what? None of this has to be related with what's happening on the scale or any sort of metric or measurement. So that's the beautiful part. And that's kind of what I want to leave you guys with, is just this ability to dive deeper into this conversation and understand what progress can look like underneath the surface.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to this episode. I know that life can be really crazy, and so the fact that you even set aside a few minutes to spend some time with me just means so much to me. If you're wondering how this episode applies to your life, or any questions or follow-ups that you have in general, please feel free to let me know. There is a form that you can fill out in the description of this episode that will allow us to connect via email and just have a conversation as to what you are struggling with and where you need support. So if that's something you're interested in, you can find that in the description, and I look forward to chatting with you soon.